Hi, it's December 30th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. Because this is a time of year when many people reflect, I thought I would as well. And what I'd like to reflect on is where we are, where we've come from, and where we're headed. But I want to do that in a much grander sense than just politics. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us as a species, actually. And the way that I got here is I was reflecting on authors. I was reflecting on books. And one of the reasons was that I had seen yesterday in the news that J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, was number one on a list of persons of the year. And because she was number one, there was an outrage, right? Because she has some pretty outspoken opinions about the LGBTQ community. So I was thinking about her, and then I was thinking about authors in general. And it dawned on me that when authors, and I am one, when we write books, we write them, hopefully, for the broadest possible audience. We want to reach as many people as possible. I know that when I wrote my book, The Questions God Will Ask Prepping for the Final Exam, it's a melding, it's a bringing together, it's a bridging between metaphysics, science, and religion. And I did that deliberately because I want to reach as many people as possible. And if I talk solely about religion or talk solely from the perspective of metaphysics, I will lose certain people, right? I will lose the people who are scientific in their approach or more logical and less fanciful, let's say, less inclined to believe things that can't be proven. Well, many authors write on a lot of different levels. I mean, Alice in Wonderland, the classic children's book, if you read it as a child, it's very simplistic. It is a fairy tale. But you can read it as an adult. And when you do, you realize that Alice's quest was for some very profound things. It was for her own identity. It was about growth. It was for some understanding of logic and rules and the games that people play. Authority. It was about time. It was even about death, about going down the rabbit hole, right? And all of the things you can find when you go there. And similarly, J.K. Rowling with Harry Potter, it's about a lot of things. It's not just a fun series to read. Harry Potter has similar themes about loyalty and integrity and death and power. They're all there, right? So my point is that we authors, we write on many different levels, and the reader is, in a sense, confined to an understanding that is commensurate with their own conscious evolution, with their own intelligence, with their own imagination. And so different people can read the same book and pull different things out of it or see different things in it. So then I thought about the Torah. I thought about the first five books of the Bible, what is generally called the Old Testament. But in fact, it is the Torah of the Jewish religion. If you can create the world, if something can create the universe and everything that's in it, then it seems to me pretty simple that that same being, that same entity, could create a book that is written on a multitude of levels and could be read on a multitude of levels and understood on a multitude of levels depending on where the reader is. And so I'm not a deeply religious Orthodox Jew, so I've never taken the Torah literally. I know that Orthodox Jews do. I know that fundamentalist Christians take the New Testament literally. I've always looked at the Torah as allegorical, as helpful, as a guidebook about many things. So, for example, kosher dietary laws, many of the things that are prohibited from being eaten in the Torah are things that turn out to be scientifically and biologically not good for us, not good for we humans. So I think there is instruction, but again, it depends on the level of your own consciousness and the degree to which you can discern subtlety. In Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism, which is one step removed from literally taking the Torah at face value. In Kabbalah, it's taught, Kabbalah is the correct Hebrew pronunciation. In Kabbalah, which is called the Book of Emanations, it's a book of light. God is perceived as an emanation of light. But in the Zohar, it talks about in the beginning differently than the Torah talks about in the beginning. You know, in science, we say that we talk about the Big Bang Theory, but we postulate what could have existed before the Big Bang. Did anything exist before the Big Bang? And Kabbalah answers that question. Kabbalah says that it created God, it being the eternal, the infinite, that which is never-ending and all-encompassing. And out of that came an emanation of light, and that emanation is God. So the Zohar says that, in essence, that first degree of separation was from the it, from the eternal and the infinite, to God. But then God creates Adam and Eve, and there's the second degree of separation. But even at that point, the first and second degrees of emanation were still, and of separation, were still relatively, let's call it close enough for lack of better wording, were relatively close enough to still perceive themselves as whole, united, one. But then we learn that Adam and Eve eat from the tree of knowledge, and they make the distinction that they are no longer part of oneness. They are separate. They are separate from God. They are separate from the eternal and the infinite, and they are separate from each other. And there's the third degree of separation. Now, you know, LinkedIn was created on the premise that there is a theory, it's called the 6 degrees of separation theory, that all of us on the planet are 6 degrees separated from one another, that's the distance between us, that within 6 connections, the whole earth is united. You could be connected to anyone. And with the advent of the internet, it is actually down to 3 degrees of separation, that we're all 3 degrees, 1, 2, 3 persons, in essence, away from being connected to the entire world. So let me just recap here for a moment. The infinite and the eternal, created God, first degree of separation. God created Adam and Eve, second degree of separation. And Adam and Eve separated themselves through their act to being not only separate from creation, but separate from one another. I think that on some level, that collective memory of us separating from oneness, separating from wholeness, separating from unity and harmony is what drives us to unite with one another and with something greater than ourselves. But the way that that manifests itself on this earth plane is the thing that we perceive as wholeness, as oneness, is hijacked by government, is hijacked by people who understand that that is our yearning, that understand that that's what we seek. And therefore, they promise it through things like socialism and communism and authoritarianism and centralized government. And now a global government, a global currency, trying to create a false oneness, a false idol. I believe we're trying to get back to the original separation. But we mistakenly take government control and promises by government that we'll be given everything we need, that everything will be free. We confuse that. We mistakenly believe that's the oneness we're seeking. But that is, in fact, misuse of energy, literally misuse of energy. Because the original energy was an energy of connectedness and oneness and wholeness. And people who seek to replicate that are really just seeking power for power's sake. And the tool that they use to move us in the direction of relying upon others rather than relying upon ourselves, and relying upon our direct connection to God as individuals, as individual emanations of that original light, the tool they use is fear. Now, again, that government centralized replication of oneness is an illusion. It has to be an illusion as long as there's separation, because anything that isn't wholeness or oneness is not the original source of energy, of life, of creation. And in centralized governments or centralized technological control or centralized banking, whatever it is, you have individuals or organizations controlling the rest of the population. That's still separation. That's how you know it's not what you really seek. It's not what you really desire. There have been moments in human history prior to right now, prior to this whole concept of a global government. There have been moments in our history when it's been attempted and it fails every time. Ancient Egypt, ancient Rome, the feudal system in Europe, every single form of socialism or communism, and now they're trying again. They're using COVID and the fear associated with it to move us towards central planning, towards permanent separation, away from true connection, away from wholeness, away from harmonic convergence, which is the symphony of life when we're all vibrating consistent with God or oneness. The absence of separation. The absence of separation. That's what Jesus meant when he said, love your brother as yourself. It's why Rabbi Hillel, who lived 100 years before Jesus, said, that which is hateful to you, do not do to another. That is the whole law. The rest is commentary. That's what Rabbi Hillel is saying. No separation. That which is hateful to you, do not do unto another. Why? Because we're all connected. Because what you do to someone else, you do to yourself. Whether you love them or you hate them, we're all one. We're all connected. And it's why Rabbi Hillel also said, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? If I am not for others, what am I? And if not now, when? Rabbi Hillel was talking about no separation. He was talking about the connectedness we are and have with one another, and why you can't not only be for yourself, you have to be for others, right? Because if I'm not for myself, who will be? And if I'm not for others, what am I? If I am not understanding my connection to everyone else and every sentient being, what am I? And when he says, and if not now, when? It's because there is no past and there is no future. There's only the present moment. That's all there is. So when you think about it, and you can look at it on a very literal level, and you can try to pick apart what I'm about to say, but if you open your mind, and you, more importantly, open your heart and attempt to feel what I'm about to say, you'll know the truth of it. You'll feel the truth of it. And it's this. Oneness is what matters. Our connection to one another is what matters. It can't be dictated or mandated or legislated by governments that humankind creates, because that's yet another degree of separation. That's us moving in the wrong direction. If we want to move in the right direction and we want to be connected in the highest sense of the word, then we need to move back toward our connectedness to one another and that connection to God. Because then we are moving from 3 degrees of separation back to 2 degrees of separation, which is the only path back to wholeness and oneness. And finally, feel the truth of this. There is no past and there is no future. The only place any of us have any power is in the moment that we're living right now. And so fear, the tool used by those who would control us, is always talking about what's coming next and why you should be afraid of it. Dismiss them. Delete them. On the computer of life, tell them no. I won't fear the dark winter. I won't fear impending doom. I won't fear all of your efforts to have me bow at the feet of false idols. I'm moving in a different direction. I'm heading on a higher path where the answers that I seek actually reside, where the answers that I seek can actually be found. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold. I'll be back here again on Friday. And until then, by all means, think for yourself.